Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mike Thomas. I'm a guest pastor here at Bethany, but my wife and I also attend, and I'm a retired ELCA pastor. It's good to be with you this morning. I'd like to invite you to please pass the register pads down the pew, the fellowship pads, if you would. Take the opportunity to sign in. If you're a guest, we're glad to have you with us this morning, and we want to be sure and have your name and contact information so that we can be in touch, and if you have any questions about Bethany, we can make that connection. Well, I have a question for you this morning to start with, and that is, what is your number one faith challenge? What is your number one faith challenge? Now, maybe you don't feel like saying it out loud, but if you have a faith challenge, let me ask you to raise your hand if you have a faith challenge. Okay? Good. Pastor John, we have our next sermon series. There are some people who believe that all you need to do is to follow Jesus and life will be good. But we know that's not the case. I mean, if you look at the 12 disciples of Jesus, think about them. They were challenged with testifying for Jesus, standing up for their faith, being there when the chips were down. Talk about faith challenges. St. Paul was challenged by an unknown thorn in the flesh. He was tortured and beaten and shipwrecked, imprisoned several times, during which, in fact, he wrote some of his best letters. Yet Paul was one of the greatest witnesses and preachers for Christ in the early church. While we don't experience those types of hardships and faith that Jesus' followers did, we still have faith challenges. Maybe it's the medical news from the doctor that says we are being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And we say, why me, God? What am I going to do now? Or we have challenges with our coworkers or boss, and we find it difficult to be a Christian in our attitude and response. Or maybe sometimes we assume that something bad is going to happen most of the time. Do we find it challenging to pray to God, as Pastor John mentioned this morning, and to listen to him in the silence? Kimberly England is our administrative assistant and care ministry coordinator here at Bethany. And this morning we are commissioning those who serve our Lord and Bethany through visiting the homebound, the hospitalized, being on a prayer team. Recently, Kimberly sent out an email to the care team about prayer and the need for silence as we listen for God speak to us. We know that in life we aren't always going to do the right thing, have the perfect solution, be the very best, which is why we as God's faithful people live under grace. I appreciate, though, her closing thought in her email to us. It said, God doesn't ask for perfection. He asks for our presence. God doesn't ask for perfection. He asks for our presence. Christians cannot be perfect, but we can be present regularly and faithfully with God through prayer, which can be our faith challenge. What is your number one faith challenge? Each of us have different answers, but one that I would share with you this morning is worry. I think many people deal with worry and anxiety in their life. I know I tend to stress out worrying about things. Am I doing it just perfectly, making sure that all my ducks are in a row and they're all white? I tend to worry about finances, my family, my friends, my children. You name it, I'll worry about it for you. An accountant friend of mine recently told me this story, which seems to fit well. There was a young man fresh out of business school. He answered a one ad for an accountant. He was being interviewed by a very nervous man who ran a small business that he had founded. I need someone with an accounting degree, he said. But mainly I'm looking for someone to do my worrying for me. Excuse me? the accountant said. The man replied, I worry about a lot of things, but I don't want to have to worry about money. Your job is to take all the money worries off my back. I see. And how much does the job pay? The owner replied, I'll start you at $80,000. $80,000? How can such a small business afford a sum like that? The owner replied, that's your first worry. For me, I think worrying comes from my mother. She was a worrywart. While she worried about everything, the one thing that challenged me was how she worried about me. I had no brothers or sisters. She was very protective of me. My friends would take buses places, but not me. My friends would stay out late, but not me. My friends would play sports, and she really didn't like that, but I did play some football in high school. But it didn't stop with my youth. When I got married and had a family, anytime we traveled, we needed to let my mother know where we were and when we'd be home. So when I'd call her, she'd say, you know, I'm worried about you, son. If Jackie, my wife, and I didn't call her every weekend, she'd be calling me to make sure everything was okay. I finally said, Mom, I'm 55 years old. I'll be okay. If something's wrong, I'll let you know. I have to say, I understand that she did it out of love and support for us. But my mother was a woman of strong faith. But when we are worrying, are we showing a lack of faith and trust in God? Look again at this text from Jesus. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. He said we shouldn't worry about any of life's essentials, because he says the birds of the air are fed, the lilies of the field are clothed, the grass is cared for even though it's here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow. Jesus says, you are more important than all of these things. He cares for them. And then he hits the crowd with the bottom line. If he cares for them, will he not care for you? Oh, you of little faith. Isn't that the key point? You of little faith. We are human, and while we are made in God's image, we are not perfect, and we allow the worry, the doubt, the anxiety, the stress of life to dominate us. In the letter that St. Paul wrote to the saints of Philippi, while he was in prison in Rome, awaiting trial, talk about worry and stress, Paul says in chapter 4, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. The apostle is calling us to take action against anxiety. We choose prayer over despair, and note that Paul also says, with thanksgiving. Do we have an attitude of gratitude when we pray? I like the story of a father who is teaching his 3-year-old son the Lord's Prayer. And Dad said the prayer, and the son would then repeat it. Finally, he invited his son to say it all by himself. He listened proudly as his son carefully enunciated each word up to the end of the prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evils. Somehow that seems to fit. But God calls us to pray about everything. While the words Paul used are similar, there is a distinction between prayer and supplication and requests. Prayer is general devotion and conversation with God. Supplication indicates a humility before God. And requests are specific petitions. We tell God exactly what we want, as Pastor John mentioned. And when we look, what Paul says will happen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We go to God with our need in prayer, and God will answer our needs, our prayers, and give us peace. Even more than that, he will protect us. Paul says that he will guard. The Greek, in fact, that's used here means to take care of. He will take care of our hearts and our minds through Christ. We need to put our requests in God's hands, not ours. And with that, God gives us a calm in our lives because he is always with us. Have you ever been around a calm person in the midst of a chaotic situation? There have been times when I have been on a rescue call for the fire department. And whether it's a code, a car accident, or a medical emergency, the rescue captain always needs to be calm as they assess the situation. When they remain calm, it helps others to be calm. It gives us the ability to think things through more carefully and wisely. That's true with our faith. When we are calm in the face of adversity, our friends sense a difference. Our coworkers benefit from it. Our family members take note. The contagiously calm person is the one who reminds us God is in control. We're invited to be a leader who sees the challenge, acknowledges it, and says, these are tough times we're going through, but God will lead us. Max Lucado, America's best-selling inspirational author and pastor, writes, with God's help, as your helper, you can sleep better tonight and smile more tomorrow. You can discover a life that is characterized by calm and develop tools for facing the onslaughts of anxiety. So if worry or anxiety is your number one faith challenge, one response is to turn it over to God in prayer. A second is to remain calm in the face of the challenge, knowing God will provide. A third response to the challenge's worry is to ask for comfort. What tools do you use to provide comfort in your life? Is it exercising? Getting a mom or dad's night out without kids? Going to a sports event to release some pent-up energy? Unless it's Nebraska football. Eating certain foods that are comforting. Being with your family or friends. Or maybe it's being alone. This morning we are pleased to install Pastor Judith Rainforth as Bethany's care and wellness pastor. She is one of our partners in Christ, and she brings to our ministry not just herself, but also Ben, her comfort dog. He has become a lead part of her ministry as she has gotten involved with comfort dogs from Lutheran charities. Let me share this passage from Matthew 11 that fits well into this ministry. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Comfort care dogs are gentle and humble, standing or lying beside the victim of a tornado or a flood disaster. Families have lost their homes and possessions, and these dogs cuddle and encourage as they serve as silent and calming presence for those going through a difficult time. Recently in Cascade, Wisconsin, the comfort dogs were there following an EF1 tornado that damaged a number of homes and properties at the end of August. The dogs brought comfort and stress relief to the impacted families. They also visit people in nursing homes, hospitals, military, living with PTSD, and much more. These golden retrievers share the mercy, the compassion, the presence, and love that Jesus modeled for his creation. Ben is just one of the tools that Pastor Judith will bring to the ministry. Think about when you leave. Our worship space, your journey continues in your faith. The mission field is out there, not in here. On your journey, how will you resolve your number one faith challenge so that you can have a closer relationship with Christ? It is your choice what you do with the future that God gives to you. A couple of tools that we've talked about include prayer, being calm, and seeking those things that bring comfort to you. Several weeks ago, Pastor John mentioned in his sermon that following Christ affects our journey and our future when he had the statement, "Following Jesus makes our life better and makes us better for life." When you combine that thought with one of the last verses from our text, we are invited to follow Jesus to make our life better. The text reminds us of how our priority needs to be as God's people. Strive first for the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be given to you as well. That makes our life better. Would you pray with me? God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your presence in our lives. There are times, Lord, that we question our faith or that we are challenged and struggle. We just need you to bring us a sense of calm and peace, that you bring us comfort, that we may bring it to you in prayer, and that we may hear your answer in our silence. Strengthen us, O Lord, through your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.